Welcome back to the Inspiring Incompetence Podcast, where the jiggle physics don't quit. How's everybody doing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm jiggling. All day, every day.
Them jiggles.
Jiggle, 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 jiggle. Hey. All right. So we last left off with you guys killing a noble beast, the Bandersnatch. He was just minding his own business, trying to kill some people walking through the woods.
Right.
I mean, they happened to be you, but I don't think that's his fault. But yeah, here we are. We just met an old friend, Reed Reaper, who Matt has adopted as his newest PC.
Indeed.
Adopted and upgraded.
Hell yeah. Golden skin Shabti from Deathbower, the realm of Mictana, your old flame. So, Matt, you want to give us a little crash course in what Reed Reaper does?
What doesn't he do? He was pulling out mad tricks when that first instance there.
So, yeah, Reed Reaper. So, Reed Reaper has a prestige class called Mortal Usher. And this is one when we realized that it was going to be much more difficult to bring back Valbar than initially anticipated, I started looking into options. And, you know, we're level 16, so let's look at prestige classes, because this is that level where you can do some fun stuff with those. And I came across this one called Mortal Usher, and I pulled it up, and I'm looking through it, and like, this has a lot of fun psychopomp flavor for this. And then I looked, it's like, it's because this prestige class is from book 6 of Tyrant's Grasp. So, and I'm like talking to Alex, like,
which is not a legal source, so I'm gonna need you to go ahead and change that, please.
Just delete Reed Reaper here. No, like, I talked to Alex about it, and he's like, hell yeah, if you want to use that archetype, yeah, that's fine. So I started off Reed Reaper as a fighter, which, coincidentally, he is when you meet him in book 1. Although I gave him like a different archetype than he has in book 1. I gave him the Gloomblade archetype, which allows him to manifest weapons out of, like, he solidifies shadows into whatever weapon he wants.
Practically another prestige class by itself.
It's pretty fun. And, like, the big draw of it is you never have to pay for a magic weapon, because it'll just grow more powerful as you level up.
Yeah, and you used the last one. It was, like, I don't even remember. It had so many affixes or whatever. It was, like, keen, cold.
Yeah.
Deadly.
Every time I manifest it, I can change the properties of it. So
every time.
Yeah. And every time it is a +3 weapon with +3 of enchantments that I can put onto it.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Figure a lot of times, like, holy is an option. So that's going to be probably the go-to for a vast majority of our fights. Just so happened that this was just, you know, it was a Bandersnatch. It was like a true neutral thing. It wasn't anything evil. So I couldn't just holy the fuck out of him.
I think a really powerful component of that ability is, like, you can also change, like, just what weapon you're manifesting every time, too.
Yes.
Like, against the Bandersnatch, like, normally I think you use a two-handed weapon, but you were grappled for most of that fight, so you were like, well, I guess I need a one-handed weapon.
Yep.
Or if you're like, oh, it's, like, really close quarters and I'm not in the front, I need a reach weapon, you can just have one.
Yep.
Or, like, oh, we're fighting, you know, something with DR against bludgeoning weapons, like, now it's a two-handed bludgeoning weapon.
So how does that work in terms of, like, action economy or skill usage or whatever? What's the...
It's just a move action to manifest it.
Oh, it's a move action? Is there a limit? Or can you just pull weapons out of the shadows with move actions all day long?
Just as a move action, I can pull a weapon out of the shadows.
That is sweet.
If I really wanted to impose a limitation on that, I could rule that since you're getting your weapon from the plane of shadow, that should you find yourself in a plane that doesn't border the plane of shadow, because the material plane does,
right,
then it could be like a lesser version of the ability, but that's probably not going to happen, so don't worry about it.
It's all right. I have alternates, so
yeah.
yeah, the so I got six levels of that Gloomblade Fighter that gives me that. And then the Mortal Usher is the other 10 levels. And the Mortal Usher is very Psychopomp flavored. So a lot of my abilities are keyed off of Psychopomps. And I think all but one of them are Psychopomps that we have met so far in the AP. Like there's
Nosoi and Vanth, that's Umbel and Thuot.
Yep. Katrina's Calm, like that aura of Calm that I did last time, that's from Mictana. I have a Marigna Wrappings ability, which is the undead Psychopomp that we had to take down in Gallowspire.
Yep.
And the other one is a Yamaraj, which is the one we haven't come across yet in the AP itself.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're basically, they're enormous dragons, but they're covered in feathers instead of scales.
Yeah.
And also they're outsiders, not dragons.
Right. But like that Yamaraj feather cloak is, that's what gave me like the electric immunity and allowed me to heal when I took the electric damage. But yeah, like just all these different Psychopomp based abilities on top of Vital Strike and Improved Vital Strike, which is kind of the one of the base things of the class. Like the class is built around doing that one big attack every round. And it also gets an ability called Reaping Strike, which adds 1d6 per two. It's like Sneak Attack. So as a 10th level Mortal Usher, I have 5d6 of this Reaping Strike. And that gets added on to every standard action thing that you do to deal damage. So like if I was a spellcaster that then went into this prestige class, any single target spells that I do would get this extra damage from Reaping Strike. If I was an alchemist, if I threw a single bomb, it would get this extra damage from Reaping Strike. Stuff like that.
So it's pretty freaking convenient that you've got this massive damage on top of your weapon, and then you always have the best weapon for the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's convenient.
It is. And the last thing I took, I did Variant Multiclass. So whereas Thalias did Variant Multiclass with Paladin to get like Smite Evil and Lay on Hands, I did it with Cavalier. So I have access to a challenge, which is kind of similar to a Smite, and also the Tactician ability, which allows me to share a teamwork feat with everybody a few times a day.
Sweet.
Variant Multiclass isn't always great, but if you're playing a fighter, you've got feats to spare, and
yeah.
Variant Multiclass suddenly becomes a bit more flexible in what's worth taking. I love how, if you just look at the classes, a Gloomblade and a Mortal Usher, like, it's just like this dark edgelord of a character. And then you look at him and he's just like, ha, bright golden glowing man.
Golden skinned, yeah.
Alright. Well, Reed Reaper, welcome aboard, and good luck.
Oh yeah. And as is fairly evident from last week, I built Reed Reaper to be tanky. He can take some fucking hits.
Indeed, what was with that lightning thing? Can you explain that again?
That is the like 10th level ability from the Mortal Usher. It's like the prestige class's capstone ability. It makes me immune to electricity and death effects. And I actually like regain health when I'm hit with electricity too. So
immune to death effects, you say. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
Reaper's ready for like competitive doubles in like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like switch him out when you expect a thunderbolt and he's good to go.
He also levitates off the ground, so ground attacks can't hit him.
Alrighty. So yeah, you guys kill the Banner Snatch, you finish brushing yourselves off. Any healing or other post battle actions to take?
Probably.
Alright, well by all means.
Oh no, I'm full health. Look at that.
I'm still low on health, but I think those ball lightnings are still hanging around, so I can recharge with those.
Oh yeah, just charge that battery.
You are our genus's new best friend. Like how often I try to get everybody caught up in my attacks is ridiculous. I don't know why you guys let me on the team in the first place.
It's like when Thor hits Iron Man with the lightning.
Would you look at that?
All right, well, Arginus, go ahead and roll 12d6 again.
Oh, yeah. Forget that I get to do this now.
Yeah. Hit me with a few of them. Let's see here.
Now, hold on.
All right, wait. I'm taking Joe's job now.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, even though I did specifically roll the healing today. So, fine. But can Arginus heal you from negative HP? Like, can he defibrillate you with lightning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, stand back, everyone. Clear. He just zaps you back alive. That's awesome.
So that's 13. Because I take 1/3 of your damage as healing.
And those things are out for a while, so I don't know how much
damage.
We can
probably just assume.
Yeah,
that
like,
I'm full.
Like, I guess if he, like, min rolls, like, the next 5 rounds in a row, then maybe the spell won't fully heal you before it expires, but, like, I think we're fine.
Maybe, but, like, yeah, I'm missing 20 health.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, at least 10 more rounds of that, so, yeah.
10 more rounds.
So, min rolling still gets you 4 health, and that would, yes, that would still get you 40 hit points if he min rolled the next 10 rounds in a row. All right, Arginus, now do yourself. You're still a little short.
Yeah, Tom, hit yourself with lightning. Or do you want to heal?
Do I need a heal?
You look like you're missing a little bit.
I think
so
you took like
91 out of 105.
Yeah.
I'll take care of that.
Yeah, I'll take a light or a medium.
You'll take a holy hand. 31. Boom.
Alrighty. So with that out of the way, there's really not much left to do. There's, you know, there's a little bit of foraging left to do, but wrap that up in like 5-10 minutes. And with that, you're free to head back to Hammer Rock.
Beautiful.
Let's rock. Hammer.
It's a hammer.
Rock.
Oh, and seeing how, like, you know, you were helping out, like, I'll give you Mind Blank, too. Like.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking my lightning. None of these other guys appreciate those spells, so here you go. And tosses you the Mind Blank.
Well, thank you, my friend.
How cool and transactional of you, Arginus.
Yeah. Speaking of Arginus, now, weren't you going to put your hands in some sort of loom that was extra dimensional or something? Sounded dangerous.
Oh, right. The fruit of the loom situation.
So you guys returned to Hammer Rock. Just out of curiosity, we've gone over it a few times now. Are you flying across the no man's land again, or are you walking this time? What's everybody's like flying resources looking like?
I'm brooming.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm still good.
I think you'd have to use another use of either your boots or.
Yeah,
something.
I think this is probably the last one that I got. Is it one for the, 2 for the boots and 1 for the chest, right?
3 for the boots, 1 for the chest per day.
Okay.
Yeah, and Reed Reaper just flies. He's fine.
Is that like at will, or is that a certain like amount of minutes per day or something like that?
No, he has those Vanth wings. Is just, I have a 60-foot fly speed.
Damn. All right. So, you guys return to Hammer Rock, and the 2 Crypt Dragons are there waiting for you. And when they see that Reed Reaper is with you, they perk up, and Sephathet says,
"Oh, if it isn't our special golden boy, Reed Reaper, so good of you to come."
"Watch who you are calling boy, child."
He's so cute. Okay, so I trust you have the necessary herbs.
Yeah, we got them right here.
Very good. Well, I guess the only thing left for you to do is to grind it up into burnable incense.
So to burn the herbs into incense, it is a 1-hour task, and you need to make a craft alchemy or knowledge nature check.
All right, that's Uhtred.
28.
Okay. It's a little rough. Could have done better. And the Crypt Dragons are sure to say as such. but it's workable. Workable incense.
They're just going to set it on fire anyway. What do they want? Come on.
Well, it's got to burn right.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's got to burn right.
All right, so, yeah, Targaryev nods to his sister.
Very well. Let us cleanse this desecrated site.
He indicates the areas of the site that need to have incense burned. And by site, I, of course, mean the top of this tower. This 100 by 100 foot area.
Yeah.
Once the entire perimeter has been burned with incense, there's an audible with an accompanying breeze, swirling the incense smoke in a spiraling column high above the tower. The breeze cuts out after a few seconds, leaving the smoke trails to go where they may, but you get the impression that you've crossed some threshold into the beginning of the ritual.
Awesome.
From this point on, you all are committed to this ritual. You may not leave the top of this tower, or you risk interrupting the entire process. And we have a long way to go.
For the next hour, Targaryev hums in a low, vibrating baritone, while gazing skyward and swaying rhythmically. About halfway through this, you can feel the stone tower beneath your feet vibrating with the frequency of his humming. And by the end of the hour, you can feel it all the way up in your skulls. The air itself seems to be vibrating. Now, Targaryev needs to make a knowledge planes check.
Yeah, I gotta say real quick.
Yeah.
Vibrating, like, if you ever been in, like, a concert with, like, huge speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That are, like, really hitting you just right. It's such an unsettling feeling.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good thing. It's like, I feel terrible. My body doesn't like this at all.
The crypt, actually, like, let me just, like, stop right here, because the crypt dragons wouldn't have bothered explaining how this ritual works unless you guys asked, and you didn't, but you might still be able to get some insight with your own knowledge arcana checks, so you can go ahead and do that now.
Okay.
26 for Reed Reaper.
40 for Richard.
28 for our genus.
And 22 for the legs.
Hey, Tom. Your max arcana is my min arcana.
All right.
Fucking get him.
Actually, his max is lower than your min.
Yeah.
Your min's a 30.
Nah, it's a 29.
No, your bonus is 29.
Oh, shit, you're right.
All right, so you would all know some basic information about occult rituals. Basically, they are like a longhand spell. Something that, like, to make a magical effect happen without actually needing to or even being able to cast a spell. And just like spells, occults have, like, spell levels up to ninth level, just like normal spells. And a ritual, one thing that sets them very far apart from spells is they take much, much longer to cast. An occult ritual, depending on the complexity, can take 10 minutes per ritual level, or at the long end, they could be 1 hour per ritual level. You can also have more than one caster to an occult ritual, but no matter what, you have a primary caster, and everybody else involved would just be a secondary caster. Some rituals have a maximum on how many secondary casters you can have involved, some don't. But, whatever the case, for every 4 secondary casters involved in the casting, everybody involved receives a +1 bonus on any skill checks they need to roll while casting the occult ritual. Because that's kind of what they're all about. It's like this long process, and at regular intervals, different skill checks need to be made. And they're often fairly difficult to land. So having a lot of secondary casters can really help get a tricky ritual to happen.
Okay. And there's just the two, there's a primary and secondary in this case, the two dragons? Or we somehow...
One of the dragons is clearly the primary caster, and it would seem that all of the other dragons, including you, and in addition to you guys, are all secondary casters.
Gotcha.
So then Uhtred, I would say that you would know that... all rituals have a... They come with a backlash, a price extolled by the ritual that can't be avoided. And they also all have a consequence of failure that would only pop up in the event of a failure. The backlash is usually nothing too serious, but the consequence of failure can be fairly nasty. Depending on the ritual itself, the consequence of failure is only... Sometimes it's only experienced by the primary caster. Sometimes it's experienced by all casters. You know, there's also a maximum number of failures allowed for an occult ritual. So if there's, say, like 5 skill checks that need to be made during a ritual, you could be allowed to fail 2 of them, or maybe only 1 of them, depending on how difficult it is.
I like how they didn't explain any of this before we started.
Yeah.
And now we're...
You're just along for the ride. And
we're like piecing this together ourselves.
So yeah, like as they said earlier, like they basically were implying like, we'll take care of the technicalities. You simple little people, like all you need to do, we just need your nimble little fingers. We'll take care of the rest. They seem...
Yeah.
Either they're ignorant of that... element of a ritual, or they're just so confident in their ability to do it that they figured it wasn't worth even talking about.
Perfect.
So after an hour of humming, Targaryv made a knowledge planes check.
Just curious, they're humming for an hour. What are we doing? Are we standing around just like watching them hum? Or
yeah, all you really need to do is be present and like attentive.
Okay, so I'm pretty focused on this ritual.
Yeah.
Not just, like, watching a dude hum being like, all right, how long is this going to take?
So then, without warning, Targaryv's hums stop, and you're struck with a deafening silence as the constant buzzing vanishes, and your heads and feet stop rumbling. Curiously, though, the air seems to still be vibrating.
The dimensional fabric has been shifted. The knotted ley lines can now be revealed.
And then Sepithet stirs for the first time since the ritual began and begins scrupulously inspecting the stonework atop the tower, as if searching for a lost eyelash, taking in every fiber, every grain of the stone. She moves slowly as her search carries her across the site, and after an hour of concentration, emits a low exhale as if blowing out a candle.
What in the world? Can we help her in this part, or...
Nope.
This is...
You're helping by being secondary casters right now. You cannot benefit from the aid another action during an occult ritual.
So an hour of humming, where we're trying to focus, and then an hour of watching this dragon look for some tiny little speck of dust.
Mm-hmm. So she blows as if blowing out a candle, and a small clump of something suddenly becomes visible. As if a formerly invisible object were outlined with a golden light. A closer look beholds a tightly knotted cluster of threads, like a tangled fishing line.
There's one.
She then turns and continues searching. Again, she scrutinizes every bit of the tower, moving on to searching through empty, still vibrating space. After she finishes checking every last inch of stone, she continues searching for another hour, until she stops again and lets out another delicate exhale. Another small cluster of knots glows into existence. Still not done, Sepitha continues her search of every cubic inch of the ritual site, straining her powers of perception, and after another full hour, she blows once more into nothingness.
I was pretty indifferent at the start of this to the ritual, but I'm super invested in this now. This is crazy. 3 hours of just... wacky occult shit.
Well, it's been 4 now. 1 hour of humming, 3 hours of perception.
4 hours.
Yeah. And a third glowing knot of threads is revealed. Sepithet takes a great shuddering breath, likely drained a fair deal by the 3 hours of ceaseless concentration that she just went through. She turns to Targaryv and nods. Her brother turns to you all.
Then it is time for you small folk to do your part. The ley line tangles will persist on our side of the veil for a time. You cannot untangle more than one at a time, or they will be yanked away from us. Use those tiny fingers of yours to untangle them.
So, whoever is up to it, I need a sleight of hand check.
Oh. Is anyone invested in sleight of hand?
I've got a 10 in it.
I got a negative 4.
I got a 16.
This sounds like Reed Reaper.
Yeah.
Yep.
He doesn't even know what we're doing. He kind of just walked into this.
Yeah. So you're getting a +1 bonus on that from the secondary casters.
Okay. So sleight of hand, and I'm getting a +1 to this. That's a 24.
It's truly arduous and minute work. The ley lines seem to be only partially solid, and they tear apart if tugged or handled too hard, but always instantly revert back to whatever placement they were in before tearing. This means you're able to manipulate them, but must remain delicate in your handling, or else you may as well be trying to untangle smoke.
Lovely.
Each sleight of hand check represents 1 hour of work. I'd like 2 more, please.
Oh my god.
Oh, come on. I'm going to hero point and reroll that, because goddamn. Come on, d20. Slightly better. 25 and a 23. Holy crap. Just rolled 4 d20s and 8 was the best of them.
So there seem to be like 3 main clusters that Sepetheth found. Whether you're dividing your time between all 3 or you're really just trying to focus on one until you get it all the way, it seems like you cannot not. And the ley lines are maybe a little looser than when you started, but for having worked on these for 3 hours, there's a disappointingly low level of progress. But after the 3rd hour, like even the most delicate touch, your hand is just moving through these knots. How Targaryen said they would remain tangible on this side of the veil for only so long. They only seemed to be visible in the area where they were tangled, but the more time you spent handling them, the more of the area of each thread becomes visible, until after the 3rd hour of work you can see dozens of feet worth of glowing threads extending out from each knotted area in every direction, revealing thousands of golden lines crisscrossing all over the site. But the lights now throb in a distressing pattern, like a tender wound.
The ley lines are aggravated from our meddling as expected. Before closing the rift, I will steady their energies. Pharasma, the Lady of Graves, extend your hand to this site of defiled space and show it peace. Pharasma, the Mother of Souls, I beseech thee, with your almighty grace, put these unquiet energies to rest. O Pharasma, the Spiral of Fate.
And Targaryen continues pontificating to Pharasma in that fashion. And from everybody else, I would like your choice of either a knowledge arcana, nature, religion, or a sense motive check.
That's a 37 religion.
I got a 33 arcana.
And a 26 religion.
I got an 18 for arcana.
Reed Reaper, this step seems incorrect. You're sure you don't know this ritual better than the dragons who already know how to do it, but you've been paying attention to the step so far, and beseeching a god to soothe the ley lines just seems incorrect to you. In fact, you're sure that this step instead requires incantations dedicated to nature and the natural order of the world. Basically, in game terms, this step requires a knowledge nature check, and Targaryen is attempting a knowledge religion check. But you know it's not too late to interrupt him.
Targaryen, child.
Hold on. Pharasma! Yes, Reed Reaper, what is it? I'm in the middle of something.
Yes, but I believe you're in the middle of the wrong thing. I believe you should be beseeching to the natural world here, not so much to Pharasma for her intervention.
Oh, is that so? Well, I beg your pardon, Reed Reaper, but I think I know this ritual better than you. How many times have you performed it?
I don't know. How many times have you?
You listen to me. I came to this desolate place to make a difference, to help these poor mortal people recover from the atrocities of Tarbaf Farm. And shutting down this ley line has thus far been the most direct way to do it. I don't know why you're trying to get in my way.
Can the rest of the group make a sense motive? Like, now that there's, like, conversation back and forth, like, can we sense motive not only the dragons, but also Reed Reaper as well?
Good thinking, Tom.
I second that.
Yeah, if you want to. Reed Reaper, you can give me your choice of bluff, diplomacy, or intimidate to kind of, like, assert yourself to Targaryv.
Diplomacy it is. It's a 23 diplomacy.
It's a 22 sense motive for...
22 Eugene. Sense motive.
15 for Eugene.
Oh, Tommy ruined it. So, yeah, Uhtred, Thalias, Arginus, you're not detecting any falsehoods? Maybe a little stung pride from Targaryv. You think when Reed Reaper's like, well, how many times have you done it? You think it might also be zero based on his reaction. And anybody who wants to try to, like, back up Reed Reaper can give diplomacy checks to assist.
Okay, I'm about it.
It's probably better if I don't try and help.
Well, I automatically pass.
Yeah, 26 diplo.
So Thalias and Arginus kind of pipe in, and Targaryv just kind of, like, sputters for a few seconds, and he says,
well, fine. I'd never been much studied in grass and trees. Why would I be? If you're all so studied in this ritual, I welcome one of you to fill in this gap.
Anyone who wants to can make a knowledge religion, or nope, don't do that one. A knowledge nature check. So who's going to make that check?
The knowledge nature check?
Yeah, Nick already rolled because he's the only one with a decent knowledge nature.
I think I'm the only one with knowledge nature.
Probably.
Yeah, I think
so too. Probably.
Yeah. All right, lay it on me.
29.
It'd be a 30 because you got the plus one from the secondary casters.
I stand corrected.
So Uhtred takes over and he starts chanting incantations dedicated to nature. And after about an hour of kind of driving the bus, the pulsating ley lines have ebbed. And they seem like they are very much soothed. Targaryv, with much wounded pride, just kind of... this one, like... dignified sniff.
Nothing left now but to close the rift. I will take care of this unless one of you feels like I'm doing something wrong again.
Reed Reaper stays silent.
Yeah, Thalias stays extra silent. Even more silent than Reed Reaper. I feel like getting caught in this crossfire is a bad idea.
And then Targaryv begins chanting words of arcane power. Speaking as he moves about the site. And as he does, the vibrating air slowly calms. Until after a full hour of chanting, the air is still once more. So, that was a 9-hour long ritual.
Ugh. Oh my god.
You guys spent an hour looking for... No, you spent 3 hours looking for herbs for the incense. You spent another hour crushing them up. And let's just go ahead and add an hour from, like, the round trip to get there and back. So this task has cost you guys about 14 hours of your day. But with that, with one final... just the general chills that you've been feeling from being atop this tower just slowly fades away. And there's this, like... loud cracking sound, and like with a jolt, you all look down, and like it looks like the tower itself has actually like cracked right down the middle, and there's like this fissure running through the floor at your feet. It doesn't look like the tower's about to collapse or anything, but you get the feeling that the ritual was a success. And
all right,
yeah, it better have been.
You guys have done something that you don't know if anyone in Last Wall, the Knights of Ozum, or, you know, anywhere, have ever managed to disable a witch gate before.
Oh, really?
I mean, otherwise, Erasny probably would have told you guys how to do that instead of telling you that you had to shut him down in Gallowspire. But yeah, you guys have disabled the Hammer Rock Witch Gate. Congratulations.
Yeah, go us.
Wow.
However, then comes the backlash. The price extolled from every ritual. Most rituals, it's really not anything too serious, but this, being a 9th level occult ritual, packs a punch. Up through the fissure, splitting the floor of the top of this tower apart, comes this, like, blast of gaseous green smoke, and everybody takes one permanent negative level.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
That's the ritual's backlash.
It's a reward for a job well done.
This AP, yeah, this AP loves to just, like, you get a sliver of yay, you get kicked in the nuts for it.
But here's the thing. Permanent negative levels, it might cost a little bit, but you can get rid of those. Meanwhile, you guys can now teleport back and forth to Hammer Rock with no problem.
As a matter of fact.
Wait. Make sure we're done.
Huh?
Well, I hear Axel about to start saying something as Tom's getting excited to just immediately teleport us out of here. And I want to hear what Axel's going to say first.
Well, with that, the dragons, like, they look at each other, kind of like chests puffed out, very smitten with themselves, they say. And Sepithet says,
"Well, that seems like a job well done. I think we can venture farther into Verilich and see what other hell we can raise in the name of Pharasma.
Pharasma 6!"
And she kind of...
Let's go!
She leers at Arginus.
"No."
So does Reed Reaper, like, ugh.
So does Thalias.
I thought I told you that you would not use that term.
And us humans, we did the bandaging for this reality.
That does not give you permission to blaspheme the Lady of Graves' name. And I would hardly call that bandaging. It was a team effort.
Oh, I certainly agree. Our fingers were more nimble. But also, by no means am I blaspheming through the name. We've been through our shared troubles, and Pharasma has given us a second shot at life. Otherwise, she would not have allowed us back onto this plane.
Thalias goes over to Arginus while all this is happening, takes him around his arm, and says, "Hey, why don't we sit this one out?"
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Targaryen walks over to Sepithet and, like, quietly to her, but easily heard by you guys as well, says,
"He thinks he's a Duskwalker."
I match that vibrato.
"This one is certainly touched, but not by Pharasma. Well, it was nice to meet you all. Reed Reaper, will you be accompanying us to our next destination?"
No, I believe my mission is here with these other small folk. You children go on and play.
Reed Reaper, I will miss your funny jokes. Very well. I wish you all safe passage wherever it is your fates will take you.
And with that, the Crypt Dragons, they flare their wings out and they take flight. And they start flying north.
Let's go.
Well, we still got some more of Hammer Rock to explore.
Well, surely first we should go back to indicate that we can now teleport back and forth. That way we'll have more people on this expedition than just us.
I don't know what backup you think you're getting with that plan, but...
Like, Dondon might be the only one that would come. Everyone else is going to be a little preoccupied, I think.
Oh, like, okay. They might have allies somewhere else that might be able to help out, too. Like, I don't know.
And by all means, teleport back to Caliphus. Like, what you need to remember is, like, you guys are to a level where any NPCs who are strong enough to help you are, like, themselves going to be, like plot-moving lodestones of the world of Galarian. Like, they are, like, it's not like you can just, like, walk into, like, a big city and be like, we're looking for a 15th level NPC who's looking to get his hands dirty. Like, that shit is, like, that's like some level 5 to 10 shit. But I mean, like I said, by all means, like, teleport back to Caliphus, like, find yourselves a warm bed or, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, that took us, what, 14 hours? Like, bedtime.
Also, I know I've said this, like, off recording, but I just want this to be an in-episode thing. I know we found evidence of a whole bunch of undead coming into Hammer Rock. And obviously, we have not come across them while in here. So, mm-hmm. I just wanted to put on recording that my assumption is that there is some sort of apparatus underneath Hammer Rock, or, you know, deep within the actual castle itself, that is a transportation mechanism to bring all of those undead. It's going to be like a backdoor that Tarbefan is going to use for attacking Absalom.
Interesting theory. So, I don't know if everybody, like, because you guys, I think you guys have some trust issues when it comes to our genus teleporting you places, but, like, whether or not you actually, like, acquiesce him, like, gathering you all up so we can do so. Like, in the time it takes for him to be like, gather around, here we go. You hear a voice coming from behind you on the same tower. I thought they'd never leave. And you all turn around and you spot a translucent form of a heavily armored half-orc standing on the tower, like on the south end of the tower.
And who might you be?
My name is Captain Somar Trent. Apologies.
Is this Matt's new character?
Apologies, but with the state that I'm in, you can't take many chances with agents of the Boneyard. I know what you're looking for, and I can help you. Come find me in the gatehouse, and we'll talk. And then he just kind of, his image just kind of like wisps into smoke.
We sense motive that, or like...
Yeah.
Yeah, Reed Reaper would be suspicious, you know, as an agent of the Boneyard. I got a 24 sense motive.
Arginus got a 19.
15 sense motive for Thalias.
14 for Uhtred.
Yeah, I mean, none of you seem like he's trying to deceive you or, like, lead you into a trap or something. I've got a picture of what he looks like, just to the south of your tokens, even though he's not currently standing there anymore.
Ooh, I like his helmet.
Yeah.
He really needs a mask over it, though.
I was like, here, let me zoom way the fuck in here to see this.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks pretty cool.
So, yeah, what do you guys do? You go meet this guy in the gatehouse, or you let Arginus teleport you away?
I think we should probably go meet this guy, because the main reason we came was to try and figure out why Tarbefan was even interested in Hammer Rock.
Yeah, like, disabling the Witch Gates was kind of like a
1B thing.
Yeah, it was a secondary option. Like, do it if you can, but the main thing is to figure out why Tarbefan attacked it in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't put any kind of, like, come now, right?
You just said meet me in the gatehouse so we can talk.
I was thinking we could rest, but actually, I don't know if we need to. Nobody's...
Like, we just had the Bandersnatch fight.
Yeah. Well, but we healed up, right? And
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't, like, rested, but, like, it wasn't, like, a terribly resource-draining encounter.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it's just been, like, 14 or 15 hours since you left to go back to Caedera Forest. So it has been a long day, but yeah, otherwise you guys are, you know, pretty good on resources.
So yeah, let's go see what this guy's. I imagine what we're doing is, I mean, I don't know how the game mechanics of like the time constraint is, but like in world, it feels like the more we can get done in a day, the better the world will be.
Yeah,
probably.
So yeah, let's go see what this guy has to say.
Right. So you would know just from like in-world jargon knowledge that when he said meet me in the gatehouse, he's referring to this like northern piece of the keep that's in the southern, the south central end of the courtyard.
It'd be funnier if we had no idea where the gatehouse was. Meet me at the gatehouse. Disappears.
Cut to you guys bushwhacking through Caedera.
Yeah, off we go, I guess.
Okay. All right. So, you walk in through the western entrance of the gatehouse, and this imposing stone gatehouse stands as the only entrance to the 40-foot-tall keep within Hammerrock. Its two doorways to the east and west are both sturdy wood, although the western door, the one that you used, is broken and hangs awkwardly from its hinges. So, I kind of imagine that you finish it off on your way in. Just kind of like push it to the side and it like swings awkwardly and the final hinge snaps and it falls to the ground with a big plume of dust. But then there's another door on the south end of the room that leads farther into the keep, but standing in the middle-ish, you see the same man that met you atop the Witchgate Tower, Captain Somar Trant. And just as he was up there, he appears to be a translucent person, maybe even ghostly.
Thank you for meeting me here. Those crypt dragons, they do love killing undead. I wasn't so sure they would stop and ask questions before doing the same to me.
Yes, well, I'm not much of a fan of undead either, so out with it, ghost.
But you're restraining yourself, and that's a start. Yes, well, before I start, I've introduced myself. To whom am I speaking?
The Pharasma 4.
Ah! No.
I was fucking waiting for it.
You guys took too long. I was like,
I mean, I was kind of waiting for Nick, because I assume like Uhtred is gonna be like the name that like the guy's gonna recognize, you know.
Oh no, I was getting giggly
as Argena starts to say the Pharasma 4. I cut him off and say, I'm Thalias, and this is Argenis, Uhtred, and Reed Reaper. There's four of us, but we're saving the day is more of what we do. Not related to any, and I look back at Argenis, not related to any other name you might have heard us by.
Very good. May I hazard a guess that you were sent here by Eluna Varvedos?
That would be correct.
Indeed. Oh, wonderful. I swore an oath to High Priestess Eluna to protect Hammerrock, and death is just another hurdle in my way. I saw it, the radiant fire, a green flash. Must have been smuggled in with one of the refugees coming into the fort. Nothing I could do but die. Except I persist! The Whispering Tyrant arrived one day, with a small army of followers. I emerged to defend the castle, but well, I'm undead now. One of his death priests took control of me, and I was forced to comply. I granted them passage inside the castle and accompanied them as they went down. There's something hidden beneath Hammerrock, an enormous storage facility called Fallow Deep. I didn't see all of it, but there's enough corpses and resources down there to raise an army of tens of thousands of undead. The Whispering Tyrant grabbed what was ready and left with them, but he ordered the foreman to ready the rest of them. I slipped free of my jailer once they started controlling more undead and returned here. He seems to kind of shiver.
Maybe you should explain that directly to Aluna.
Is she here?
Yes, I doubt he could leave this place. Ghosts typically are bound to wherever they died.
Guys, will you let me? Will you let me teleport to Aluna's kitchen? Grab Aluna.
Reed Reaper looks at Thalias like, What is his obsession with teleporting? What is this?
It's a long story. He's extremely adept, but mischievous, let's say. He gets ahead of himself.
This is hardly the time for mischief.
I know, and it's hardly the time for being the Phrasma 4. But that didn't stop him back there, either.
All I am suggesting is, we now have knowledge of what the thing is that we're looking for, and perhaps having Aluna directly involved in this might make things easier.
Well, you may recall that Aluna is, like, managing the efforts to get all of the refugees out of Last Wall / the Gravelands, and this was just kind of a side project in terms of available resources, which is why she sent you guys.
Yeah, she was kind of playing a hunch with us.
And, like, reporting back to her was definitely a good thing, but, like, and, like, maybe she would have, you know, kudos and, like, rewards aplenty for you for doing so, but, like, she's not gonna be like, all right, like, hold my beer, I'm going with these guys back to Hammer Rock.
She wouldn't take an hour to figure out a mission that she sent us on because, like, she already spent so many resources getting people here.
Well, I mean, you guys can go back and report to her. Like, why does she need to be at Hammer Rock?
I think she would love an update, and she would even more love an update that was a completed, you know, we found the problem, we found additional things, and we handled that too.
Ghost, is that agent of the Whispering Tyrant, is he still down there, performing the task left to him?
Oh, the foreman? Well, plural and singular versions sound the same, but it's not just one. There are multiple foremen. Not that there are four of them. Multiple foremen.
I look back at our genus. When you say not that there are four of them.
My question stands. Are they still down there?
Oh, indeed. If you are indeed here to save the day, I will give you all the instruction that you want, but I can't accompany you. Trust me. The last thing you need is for another necromancer to take control of me and aim me back at you. No, I need to remain up here where I can be out of your way and continue guarding Hammer Rock. But, yes, I'll give you all the information I can.
That would be extremely helpful.
To reach Valodeep, you need to go through Hammer Rock's cellar. Tarbafon brought a bunch of evil giants with him and left them there, so you'll have to watch out for that. He blasted apart the floor in the dungeons on the south side, and there's a tunnel that leads down. It was hidden, sealed up, and we never knew. We've been harboring an undead factory right under our noses for perhaps the entire history of Last Wall. Valodeep is made up of three separate wings. Best I can tell, each wing specializes in a different method of reanimation, has its own foreman. So that's three foremen, not four. What I gathered, the three foremen don't get along with each other. Tarbafon was beside himself with their infighting getting in the way of output. And then there's the daughter of Urgothoa. Goes by the name Leanthari, I think. The foremen were already inside, but she arrived with Tarbafon. He put her in charge of overseeing production. But she didn't seem to be his biggest fan. After he left, she just went off about how insufferable he is and how she wants to teach him a lesson. See, they're all the enemy, and he kind of like taps his nose, and they need to be destroyed, but maybe the easiest path to that goal is to turn some of them against each other.
I nod along. And how would we... What do you suppose we would do that?
I'm not entirely sure. I just know that they don't play well with others. And the exact method to drive a wedge between them, that might be something best divined once you're down there. I certainly didn't stick around long enough to get a better read of the situation. Oh, and he kind of like drops all formality and like seems to like forget himself with like distress. He almost like he seems like he's like about to like kind of like throw his arms up in exasperation like a child, and he kind of like gets control of himself again. I'm sorry to have to tell you this. I know Laswell is struggling to find any morale these days, but there's something else. There's a traitor down there. She was my hero. Now she's a grave knight. Seeto Muldera.
You fuck.
Of course. It had to be Seeto.
Oh, and one more thing. Maybe it's nothing. I was fleeing for my... Well, I was frantic, so maybe I'm mistaken, but if there's a chance that we have an ally hidden in Tarbafon's ranks, I can't not report this. As I was fleeing Fallowdeep to return here, there was someone already up here. A Winter White. He knew I had escaped, but he didn't attack me, or report me, or try to control me. He just said something about being happy to see me in control of myself, and then he returned down to Fallowdeep. I don't know. Maybe he just knew there was nothing I could do to stop the operation. But it's stuck with me.
Friendly Winterwhite.
Well, that is quite the situation.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces here.
It seems perhaps a little subterfuge might be in order, rather than a more direct approach that I usually favor.
Indeed. Did he say that there was an army down here? Or that it was a factory for an army?
Yeah, basically, from what I gathered, this thing called Fallowdeep that was hidden underneath Hammer Rock is a facility that is used to create various forms of undead.
So, like, is it actively being used to create the undead? Or
yeah.
We're, like, trying to... Okay.
Like, that's what Tarbafon left his, like, henchmen down there, and they are,
yeah,
like, actively churning
out
undead
them out
right now, yeah.
Okay. Because I'm all good with, you know, going down and fighting people, but fighting an army seems like that's the most unsettling part. Like, we have no idea. He's telling us what's down there, and then, but there's also a factory for creating an undead army.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well.
And it said each, like, there's three wings down there to like this Fallowdeep place, and each wing has its own like specialized form of undead that
right.
It produces. So like, is like one making skeletons, one making zombies, one's making like, I don't know, vampires or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, this is gonna be a good one either way.
Yep. And Arginus's lady friend is down there too, and
yes,
Seeto.
Yes.
And fucking the Winter White too.
The Winter White, was that one from
We met him underneath Vigil, like as it exploded, he's the one that what's his name? Gildaeus,
okay.
I mean, there could be more than one Winter White, but he's been like the Winter White we've kind of been chasing
whole
AP.
Suspect number one.
I'm of the opinion that it's been a day and that we should definitely go get rest before we delve down into this.
Most definitely. The only question is, I mean, if we can report back to, what the hell's her name?
Eluna.
Maybe we do that and then rest? Because it would just be like, hey, just so you know, progress update on Hammer Rock. We siege it tomorrow. This and that.
We might even be able to get that level, that negative
the
level.
Negative levels.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because the permanent negative levels cost, it's a restoration spell and 1,000 gold worth of diamond dust. So,
oh, wow.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't mind going back to Aeluna. Like, maybe she would, you know, cover that for us.
Alternatively, we could teleport to Dondin, buy diamond dust from his chest, and then send him back to Aeluna to report.
That's true,
not
too.
Bad.
Because I think even if we go back to Aeluna, the way we were going to be able to buy stuff was through Dondin anyways.
Yeah, Dondin's like our shopping mechanism, but like...
And we probably shouldn't leave him out here waiting to hear from us.
Basically, I'm thinking how deadly this mission could be. We should tie up all the loose ends that we can.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm agreeing there.
Just thinking, like, I remember it was like this morning in-game, Dondin did like that sending spell to Uhtred just to get a quick update. So if he does that again tomorrow morning, or like, just be like, oh yeah, we're back in town, we just rested up, we're heading back in today. Witchgate's gone, by the way.
Yeah,
so teleport to Dondin.
I like that.
We could do that. How many 7th level spells are you sitting on, Tom?
We haven't done anything today, so
I mean, we'd had that fight, so you used like some disintegrate, some ball lightning. I wasn't sure if you did any 7th level stuff.
How far away do we think Dondin is? Within Dimension Door?
He's not within Dimension Door range. He's like outside of Kyrodera Forest, because that was his like specific thing. He didn't want to get too close to get caught up in the Witch Gates.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Nope. All I got is Greater Teleport and Firebrand as 7th level, so... Right. Didn't use any one of them today. We can go.
So you got, what, like 4 or 5 castings of that level?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we could teleport around.
I have 7.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
Good lord.
All right. So, Arginus teleports you all to Dondin. And, with a magical pop, you appear on the other side of Kyrodera Forest. And, Dondin's like, he's just like taking a piss, like in a bush. You like just pop up here right there. When did you?
Sorry, I was aiming for the kitchen. I apologize.
Oh, well, you found the bathroom. What are you doing? Teleporting like that?
Well, there's good news and bad news. Good news is we took down the Witch Gate. The bad news is there's a factory of undead and Tarbafon's forces underneath the Hammer Rock.
Oh, holy shit. That sounds terrible.
And we're going in to neutralize their forces.
I bet you are. And did you say you took out a Witch Gate?
Indeed we did. I don't believe we are acquainted, my friend. Hello, I am Reed Reaper.
Oh. Knight Arcanist Dondin, or Sir Darrodin, if you like.
Sir Darrodin, a pleasure.
He shakes your hand.
And, we picked up this guy along the way. He's an old friend who's come back at quite the timely, the perfect time, let's be honest.
Indeed.
I tried to be punctual.
Well, you'll have to regale me with the details on how one would take down a witch gate. But... I'd call you liars if you hadn't just teleported right in front of me. Shake, zip. But this is great news, and also, I fucking knew it! There is a witch gate there. You're welcome for teleporting you so far away.
That was extremely adept, thank you, Dondin.
Well, I suppose you'll all be wanting to report to, Priestess Aeluna.
Yes, and we did have one other thing.
The ritual that allowed us to disable the witch gates had a few lasting consequences that we were hoping this priestess of yours would assist us with taking care of.
Ah, rituals. Yeah, they can bite you in the butt if you're not careful. Let me see, I might have something. He takes out a tiny miniature replica of a treasure chest, and he like holds it aloft, concentrates for a moment, and then like poof, a large, very fancy looking treasure chest appears at his feet. And he says, what do you need for that? I'm guessing some diamond dust.
Definitely some diamond dust.
he straightens back up out of the treasure chest, and he's got a small little glass vial of diamond dust. You know that that's 1,000 gold worth.
Now we need, how much is?
We need 4 of those.
Yeah,
4 of those. Yeah, okay.
All right, let me see what I can find. He rolls his sleeves up and he dives back in.
I imagine literally diving, he's up to his waist has just disappeared into this chest.
Yeah, his feet are just kind of kicking in the air. And just odds and ends and bits and bobbles are just kind of flying out of the chest. He's like, no, not that. Let me see. So let's see. We got a 25% chance that he can have up to 5,000 gold worth of diamond dust. So, who wants to call it?
Highs.
76 to 100.
Gotta be.
Yep.
Okay, yep.
Yes!
And also 69. Nice.
That's not good enough.
That doesn't work.
Not high enough.
What? I thought it was 67 to 100. What are you talking about?
No, it was 75 to 100.
Oh, it was 75 to 100?
76 to 100. So you've got basically...
Oh, I got my numbers confused.
You've got 3 uses of that per day. You can have them keep looking for more diamond dust for your second use, but it'll only be a 20% chance that he finds it.
Well, he better find it.
All right.
I think that's the most pressing thing we need. Yeah, I think unless there's something I can't think of, that's our most needed thing right now.
All right. So I'm assuming 81 to 100 this time?
If anyone else wants to step in. I took a crack.
I
want to
see him roll higher. Yeah. Let's see a natural
100. I'm honestly leaning towards 0, 0 or, yeah,
1 to 20.
19. Yeah.
All right. Pretend Tom never said that. And
hold on. I mean, I could be interested in some lows, but...
What about 41 to 60? We'll bridge the middle.
Oh, my God. You're just making it so that one of us is going to be right. We're all going to be sad.
Could we do 31 to 50?
God damn it.
Let's hone in on one of those windows so I can press enter.
We gave you 4 options.
Here, I'm going to do it the only fair way I know how. So...
Minus 4?
61 to 80. I rolled a 4 out of 1 to 5.
You rolled a negative
You rolled
4.
A 1 minus 5.
You typed in 1 minus 5.
Oh my god.
Why are you deciding? You said your numbers are all fucked up anyways.
Alright, I don't care. Someone pick one. And
I could go with either Tom's or Matt's. So right. Someone else decide between those two.
Let's do lows because we went highs. Let's call it lows goes.
All right, 1 through 20.
1 through 20 is good.
43. Oh,
we got one more use. This time it's only a 15% chance.
All right.
Lows, can't miss.
61 to 75.
All right, yeah, let's do that.
61 to 75.
Yep.
Here we go.
61, wow. Baby! No way.
Holy shit.
No way.
Nah, take a hero point.
Yeah, you're a genius.
Fuck yeah.
All right, yeah, he's like... he spends like 5 minutes just like chucking shit out of his chest. Like, where is it? Like, I know I saw it. Like, where is it? And like finally he like straightens up. He's like, oh. Wipes sweat from his brow. It's not in there. And he like... reaches his hand out to close the chest and like a larger vial of diamond dust like falls out of his sleeve and he's like, oh, I found it. Here it is. And he just like tosses it at you guys. Says, there, that ought to hold you over. Then he closes the chest.
Perfect. Thank you, Don.
He closes the chest and he holds up the miniature figure again and the chest disappears. And he says, by the way, you found that diamond dust at Hammerrock or, you know, somewhere else on your adventures. You didn't find it from Dondon.
Reed Reaper gives him a wink like, understood, my friend. Much appreciated.
Good, good. Well then, are we ready to go see the priestess? Maybe?
Yes, Dondon, that seems right.
Wonderful. Well, let's hurry on over to her next week on the Inspired Incompetence Podcast. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.